Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
You don't know me anymore. Don't call me anything.
I hate being known.
I don't want to be known by you. I want to depart from your eyesight.
Forget that you know me.
Forget you know me and let me disappear. Why don't you? That's like me with people I just want out of my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to know you anymore.
I'm done knowing you.
I'm done knowing you and taking up space in your mind and heart.
Keep my name off your lips.
Get my name out of that mouth of yours and come over here and kiss me. Keep me out of your soul.
Keep me out of your thoughts and my name out of your lips. Do you look with teary eyes?
Come over here. Banish me from your home.
Forget my name.
Write me in the book of the dead and consider me gone. Write me in that book. You know that book.
You know, the journal you keep near your bedside table.
That damned book. Let me see what's in there. Before I go, let me see what you've written about me and let me see it.
Turn it to page 4. I know I'm blowing up on page 4, aren't I?
I've read it before, but I want to see you read it out loud. Turn it to page 4.
I want to terrorize someone
in
just like a mid-Atlantic accent. Like, I mean, go off on them.
That's kind of our dream slash brand.
Yeah, bread and butter.
I'd like a Trenta, please.
Don't look at me when you give it to me.
Look away when you give me that Trenta.
Look away. I don't make eye contact. It's
no
shameful.
Eye contact.
I put glasses, cat eye glasses on, and a little one of those little, like,
that's me though.
Scarf. That is you.
Right? Am I'm a Hollywood woman from the 40s with like.
You're Carol.
Yeah. I am. forgot your gloves.
Out for a drive. You put I your forgot driving my glove. Gloves on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've come here for a poached egg.
You tie your little head scarf on, knot it right under the daintily under the chin.
And I drive with the top down, even though it's like 30 degrees.
You drive with the top down to Starbucks. And you pull in.
And when I have to hand over my card, I go, let me take these gloves off first. It's always so cumbersome. And I go finger by finger, and they're like...
They're like, excuse me, ma'am. Can you...
What are you calling ma'am?
Ma'am, I take offense to that. Just kidding, I don't.
Call me Ms.
Well, Ms. O'Donnell.
Why? Much a ma'am.
You're new. You're cute. You must be new here.
Where are you from, kiddo? And they're like, the valley? Hermosa or Hermosa Beach?
Hermosa.
Hermosa. I've been there before. I used to take drives down there with the top down. Just riding through, getting my thoughts all in order.
Wore my bathing suit into the surf.
Wore my one piece into the surf. Just me in Hermosa Beach in a one-piece suit with like a swim cap on.
With a swim cap doing some light swimming calisthenics.
Yeah. Where it's like you're pawing at the, you're not actually swimming, you're pawing at the ocean.
Yeah.
Or like it looks like you're like rubbing your hand down like a wall. That's how you swim. My nana used to wear a bathing cap.
Oh. I never understood the idea of a bathing cap. Because your hair still gets wet.
Yeah. It's just a look.
I was like, why would I want to make my head look smaller than it already does?
Do you follow 401 Strange?
No.
On, I think it's what it's called.
On Instagram?
On Twitter. It's this, I'll find the right name and get everyone on board. It's called 401 Strange on Twitter. It's one of the best accounts I follow. It just is like... Like weird pictures in history and like trends and like strange
41 like strange
natural occurrences. Like right now I'm looking at a 1920s full face swimming mask designed to protect you from the sun, and it is the most horrifying thing in the world. It looks like a reptilian person.
Yeah, it's a total reptile face with tiny little mouth and
eyes. Great
Twitter, follow. Wow, okay.
Yeah, my nana used to one of my last memories of my nana was, it was like a month before she died, and we went to this beach that I grew up going to that she in Salem, Massachusetts, where she's from.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to go to it as a kid. And she like never, when I was getting older, she never wanted to swim because she was just like, didn't feel like going in.
Yeah, that's how you get.
She was glam. My nana was always tan. She had brown hair till she died.
Wow.
And by the way, my sister and I, well into our adulthood, did not know that she dyed her hair.
So she had a really good like dye job.
No, but my mom was like, well, nana dyed her hair. And I was like, Taryn and I, my sister and I looked at each other like, what? And we had no idea that, like, we just thought she had
brown hair. I love that.
But I went for a swim and it was really cold and she went in with me. And I was like, wow, nana. And we like swam together and it was really sweet. And my mom said she was talking to my grampy, and she was like, God, that's so nice to see mom and Carrie in the water. And he goes, don't kid yourself. She's got to pee. She's got a tinkle.
Don't kid yourself. She's got a tinkle.
Don't flatter yourself.
I'm just like really... I read this like article about Renee Zellweger in Vulture about her comeback as Judy Garland. And I sent it to you because she... Renee is a real trip.
Like, she's a Trenta girl.
She is a full-blown Trenta girl, through and through.
So, like, can you fill me / the readers in a little and like, what was happening in the art? So, does she live in L.A.?
Or she lives in Topanga. She lives over, like, a ridge in Topanga with no cell phone service.
What?
Yeah. She was, like, the interview took place in Topanga, which was, like, an incredibly unlikely, like, scenario.
Do you think she goes to the real inn?
I don't know. I feel like she stays on the cliff. Like, she's just, like, haunts the cliffs of Topanga.
Okay, what else?
And, like, her texts, like, all her text exchanges with the author, because I guess they go way back and are, like, somewhat friendly. Her text exchanges are, like, written, like, staccato kind of poetry, but with, like, a mid-Atlantic flair to them.
Like what?
Like, ha! with like a just like an exclamation point.
All caps or just...
No, just like, I gotta
do
pull
they,
up.
Do they provide the text messages?
They provide, like, yeah, transcripts of some of her text exchanges.
Oh my god,
I can't wait to read this.
You are gonna die. It's just like, she is 100% a Trenta girl.
Is she single?
She is, I think, single.
Whoa.
She kind of alludes to, like, the interviewer asks her what makes like a gay icon, because like at this point she is like a
yeah,
gay
she's
icon.
Playing Judy.
Yeah, and she is kind of alludes to the fact that like she and Kenny Chesney, like he was gay and she was with him, but doesn't like explicitly say
oh.
that. She's like, gay icon.
What's
I've
that
their,
about?
I've been their girlfriend. I've been their boy. Like, just like kind of goes off. She speaks in
she's
like.
She's like, I hang out with those fruits.
Yeah, like she speaks. The way she speaks is very like Judy. Like she's fully is Judy. And wait. So we're going to just get like a period of Renee's yeah. life as like her as Judy.
Wait, I didn't. I totally forgot that she was married to Kenny Chesney.
Married to Kenny Chesney. She dated like Matthew McConaughey at one point.
She was engaged to Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Which. Yeah.
Yeah. You fill in the blank.
You fill in the blank.
You try and fill in the blank on that one.
But she dated Matthew McConaughey, I know, because they did the Texas Chainsaw together.
Yeah. And she was also in Dazed and Confused.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Oh, yeah.
Then in Empire Records.
Shit.
And then got her Jerry big Maguire. Break in Jerry Maguire. Then she became like a Weinstein girl. And then like her biggest hits were with Weinstein Company.
With Chicago Weinstein?
Yeah.
Blood Money.
So, and she kind of like tap dances around like questions about like Weinstein and stuff. Yeah.
And she just like is alone a lot?
I guess. She just like wanted a quiet life. She like retreated from the spotlight yeah. to like...
Gotta get away from that sparkle.
Get her shit together.
Town.
But there was like a really good moment where she's like... It's like she realized that she needed to get her shit together when like she ran into her friend Salma Hayek at the airport. And Salma was like, every rose... Not... She was like, every rose only blooms for part of the year. If a rose blooms year round, it's made of plastic. And then that's when Renee had an aha moment.
Like,
can you imagine?
At LAX.
Yeah, or some airport. Salma, your dear friend Salma
who's also
coming up
in
to
a
you.
Cult, by the way.
What do you mean?
Did you know that?
No.
Salma Hayek is in a cult.
What cult?
I allegedly in a cult. I read something about it where, oh my God, this is a crazy story. Sorry to take this.
No, take it.
She's apparently part of this like, kind of like a landmark type. You know, Landmark?
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a self-help, like, spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some incident a few years ago where someone's dog was, like, decapitated or, like, they're, like as, like, a message or something. Or, like, someone... No, someone on Salma Hayek's... I have to pull this up.
Okay.
Pause.
Salma is also a friend to many an animal. She, like, adopted an owl last year.
What?
Yeah. I put it on my Twitter because she had all these photos with like a baby owl that she adopted.
What?
Salma's like connected to nature in a way that most of us are not.
Oh, her dog was found shot to death at her Washington State ranch. The dog named Mozart was found a week ago with a shot close to its heart.
That's sad.
She lives up in like, she's kind of doing, I guess Renee is like taking her cues from her because she lives... In the middle of nowhere.
With her husband?
I guess. Yeah, her, like, billionaire husband.
Yeah. But, I thought she just, like, lived in Paris with her billionaire husband.
I mean, good for her. God damn it.
Yeah.
But the police ruled it as justified. The dog slaying was justified, the police say.
Whoa.
According to Time Magazine.
What group is she part of?
I guess maybe it was, like, trespassing or something. Hold on, let me look. Oh, the Ramtha.
What?
The Ramthas, I'm not lisping, it's which I used to have, but it's a Ramthas school. Her and Linda Evangelista are in it, I think.
The Ramthas School of Enlightenment?
Yeah, in Yelm, Washington.
Yelm! What is this? Become a remarkable life.
Become a remarkable life? No, Linda Evans from Dynasty, sorry, not Linda Evangelista. Yeah. Oh my God. if you just Google the Ramtha.
Yeah, you go to ramtha.com and then there's just like a YouTube video front and center with a lady that's going to tell you some shit. And I'm like,
it looks.
I'm like,
Let me see it again. She looks like Susie Ormond or like Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, she has like a very. She wants to be no nonsense, but to me, it reads as a lot of nonsense off the bat.
Most of the students are baby boomers who feel a strong connection with Ramtha, a 35,000-year-old warrior spirit that the leader claims to channel, whose name is Jay-Z Knight.
Is that the woman?
I don't know. The school has drawn its share of celebrities, including Linda Evans and Salma Hayek. Students say they've learned how to improve their lives, which teaches a mix of philosophy, science, history, psychological, self-help, and paranormal activities. Whatever the fuck that means.
Wow. Yeah, that's Jay-Z.
The woman?
The woman.
Iconic.
Wait, I'm obsessed with Jay-Z
Knight. Jay-Z Knight is a fierce, blonde-haired...
I live for anyone who's, like, channeling.
She's wearing, like, a blazer.
Yeah.
She looks like a no nonsense businesswoman, which apparently she is. Should we watch some?
Greetings, you Christs who have come. You have to get out of meditation.
I'm seeing tons of women at this gathering.
White women.
Zen focus. We're going to see how great your focus is because we're going to make you manifest a reality with your mind.
Okay, can we pause for a second?
Wait,
Jay-Z
is
Knight
amazing.
Is also from New Mexico. So she has like a Greek.
Is that because she's channeling Ramtha that she
maybe. Southern Poverty Law Center has criticized Jay-Z Knight for homophobic, anti-Catholic, anti-Semitic, racist rants. Knight lives in a 12,800-square-foot French Chateau-style home and next door teaches courses and runs Ramtha School of Enlightenment. Should I go on?
Yeah. Enlighten me.
What? Okay, so she thinks she's channeling Ramtha. Ramtha claims to have come from the continent of Lemuria and to have conquered Atlantis.
Oh my God, yes.
The existence of the two locations is considered of legendary nature, and neither has been found. Furthermore, the claim that Ramtha led an army of 2.5 million contradicts estimates of the world population at 33,000 BC. And her claims of clairvoyant, telepathic, telekinetic, and other ESP abilities have been criticized. Oh my God. Guys.
Jay-Z is on to something. I love anyone that claims to channel anything.
Wait, hold on. This guy, David McCarthy, this is all in her Wikipedia, so I'm not, like, making this up. A Yelm, which is the best name in the world.
Yelm.
A Yelm resident and former student of the school between 1989 and 1996 has accused the school of being a cult. He later claims that he felt intimidated. He felt like mind control was being exerted. At one point... He said this. At one point, I was running around scared I was going to get eaten by the lizard people.
Huh.
So, yeah. That's what Selma Hayek's up
to. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for that, guys.
No, but. I love that. Wait, so let's get some event information.
That video?
You can attend a live event in person.
Should we go?
Or view an online stream from home.
Look at her.
Jay-Z's not fucking around.
No. She's like a fierce, kind of like cat lady, cat looking.
She's kind of like a Jocelyn Wildenstein.
For sure.
But not nowhere near as severe.
Like before.
As my queen, Jocelyn.
What does it say?
Well, in order to like qualify for upcoming events, you have to have like completed like a live or on-demand capstone event since 2014.
Oh.
So we have to complete something to then unlock the level of being able to go to an event. That's
Which,
smart. That makes me want to complete it.
Translation, you have to spend a lot of money.
And then she's all over the world. She has an event coming up this weekend, creating personal reality in Santiago, Chile. There's another event going on. Oh, well, I guess I don't know if she goes to these events, but there's another one in Acapulco. There's one in Spain and later in September in Argentina, Australia.
So she gets around.
She gets around.
That money is...
Jay-Z's on the move. Oh, so you have to... Oh, so there's some capstone events in October. In Yelm. The Capstone Fall 2019 Yelm event.
Yelm. Hashtag Yelm. Wow. So yeah, Salma Hayek's into her.
Wow.
So maybe Renee heard some some secondhand Jay-Z wisdom.
I want to know more about Ramtha.
He's 35,000 years old.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, I'll bet there's, like, a Reddit forum of people that have gone to Ramtha events.
If you or someone you know knows anything about the Ramtha School or has been to Yelm and has, please let us know.
Yeah, are you familiar with Yelm?
Are you familiar with Ramtha?
Are you channeling Ramtha? Weigh in.
Do you know anything about Atlantis or Lemuria?
I have a deck of spirit cards that was written by a woman who claims to be, like, channeling the Pleiades.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, all of them?
Or, like, a specific one from a specific entity from the Pleiades.
Whoa.
Who, like, came through her and, like, wrote the cards.
Did you feel something when you were with her?
I've never met her, but I just, like, opened the book about her spirit cards when I was at, like, the gem store, and I read, like, the first sentence was like, as you all know, like, I am channeling so and so from the Pleiades, and I was like, I will take this, I need this, whatever it is. I mean,
one please.
Yeah, any check. Channeling, yeah. You're speaking my language now.
Salma Hayek always has seemed so, like, I mean, she's probably a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
I've always appreciated her. Have you?
Yeah, I love Salma. What's not to love? Is she an Oscar winner?
I think for Frida.
That's tight.
Anyway, so what else happens in this article? I'm sorry I took us down that. Actually, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not sorry at all.
I'm really happy I got to know what Jay-Z night looks like.
Yeah, and I'm excited to learn more, like, go down a total K-hole of, like, Ramtha School of Enlightenment.
There's a gay porn star named JJ Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first saw her name, I was like,
oh my God.
So what else did the article say?
It just said, you know, like, Renee is excited about her comeback. She, like, did a lot of voice training. She, like, really is Judy in this movie and, like, goes to the movie. Yeah, she goes full method. And then it describes, like, it's like Renee realized after Salma told her that in the airport, Renee really had, like, a let's step back from the spotlight, and, like, she figured out that she was depressed and, like, really tried to dedicate time to, like, getting her shit together.
That's cool.
And the author recounts all the times that they've met Renee, and every time is, like, Renee is, like, shivering or, like, so thin, like, clutching, like, a little cup of soup or, like, eating steamed spinach. Like, it was just like, wow, Renee is a fragile bird.
Does she, like, she holds, like, a mug with two hands?
She holds a mug with two hands and, like, wears a puffy coat and Uggs and is just, like,
oh my God,
in between, like, can't be bought. And I was like, that is
what I imagine her to be.
Perfectly so Renee.
Do you remember White Oleander?
Yeah, I never watched that.
Oh, you would love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer and Allison Lohman, who, like, where the hell is she been?
Oh, yeah, whoa.
She had a moment, and then she was gone.
She was gone forever.
She went to Yelm.
She is in Yelm. No. She's channeling.
She plays... Oh, I can't... It's basically, like, a girl going around to different foster homes, and, like, one of them's Robin Wright, one of them's Renee Zellweger, one of them's this Russian woman, but Renee Zellweger's character in that movie is, like, really sweet, but, like, super fragile and, like, bipolar, and, like, she just played it so well, and, like, I'm not saying she's like that in real life, but, like, just her fragility came off so much in that scene.
Renee is a real... She's an actor's actor.
Yeah.
Many people forget.
I was so pissed when, I mean, I was shocked, but, like, I was, like, I felt really bad when, like, I was confused when she debuted that face.
Yeah, they kind of talk about that. She's also never really addressed what that was. Like, she very much talks around it, and I understand, like...
I mean, that was jarring.
That was jarring.
But I felt bad.
Maybe
really...
like bad Botox or something.
Yeah, or like she wore her hair down and like it was... I feel like it was something...
It was like an eye lift or something, yeah, that was... Maybe it was an eye lift that then hadn't healed all the way. But then now in these photos in Vulture, she's looking like back to the Renee we all know and love.
We want her to have that like...
She's also 50.
Yeah. But like that squint thing is like, that's part of her charisma.
I feel like though she did go through like a plastic surgery phase where things got like, like iffy for a while.
Yeah, I felt really like...
And then it kind of culminated in like Renee has like a whole new face and aura.
I mean, that was crazy.
And then everyone lost their shit. And so then she decided to go back to like the old Renee. And now she's like back at the beginning.
Sometimes,
but like...
Sometimes going back is...
The only way forward is to go back.
Because like, I feel like a lot of these people, men and women, mm-hmm. who are famous, who like debuted a new face... They're like, they expect us, everyone, to be like, shh. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's wild. Like, not that it's none of our business
It's a weird gray area because, like, there is this thing now that people are, like, getting furious about online, like, plastic surgery shaming, where you're just supposed to let people, like, do whatever they want
and
not like shame them for it, which I totally believe. Like, I'm all for everyone.
I know you are.
I love plastic surgery.
You're but there's extremely also, fair about it.
There's also an element that's just like everyone has their own like plastic surgery ethos at the end of the day. So for me, I'm more of like a natural plastic surgery. Like,
yeah. If you're
and then some people are wanting to look very extreme. And then some people, I guess, don't want to look anything like themselves. And that's kind of where Renee fell into, where it's like, oh, you want to like totally change like your very unique special features of your face to where you don't even look like you.
I mean, it's like such a...
And that's kind of a weird area to be in when you're a famous person.
Especially a woman.
Like, and a woman and known for looking a certain way.
And you're over the age of 20.
Yeah.
Like,
basically.
I mean.
But like, remember Jennifer Grey? She got a nose job and it killed her entire career.
I know.
It was the worst thing she could have ever done. She looked nothing like herself anymore.
Kim Novak. Do you remember from like Hitchcock movies?
Oh, yeah.
She was in North by Northwest. Did she
change her face?
Well, no, she like, I remember there was some like award show a few years ago and she came out on stage to present something and she was really, you know, she's like in her 80s
mm-hmm.
and she just looked like she had very extreme plastic surgery. It like looks like she's been touching her face for decades.
Oh yeah.
And everyone was like, who is this woman? Like, oh my God. Like, and everyone was like, first of all, she's Kim Novak. She was in North by Northwest. She's like Hollywood royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Julie Klausner or someone went like fuck all of you, like this is what happened, this is like she's a woman in her 80s in Hollywood, like what do you know what I mean? It was like kind of
like,
saying
what
like,
are you gonna do,
what do you expect, like she had no you know what I mean? It was like she made like, I forget the tweet, but it was something like everyone needs to go fuck off, like this is a woman in her 80s in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was like so true.
And it's also like if she's like coming out to to like present something, like she feels cool about whatever's going on, like otherwise she wouldn't be like coming out on stage to hang with Matthew McConaughey and like present an award.
Yeah.
So like if she's comfortable with it, I guess we just need to be comfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's, be like, hey, she's doing her,
she's presenting it to us, like,
yeah, like would I get that kind of plastic surgery?
Yeah.
No. I guess what's shocking too is like, or what it's hard to understand sometimes is when people think their plastics, like they must think it looks really good, and so they keep going with this idea. Like Jocelyn Wildenstein is like the most like exaggerated that I can think of, where it's like, this woman wants to look like this, like goes out in public, enjoys looking like this. Like,
live your life.
Wouldn't choose that for me. And I don't personally think it looks good, but like, who am I to say? It's not really
That's
like,
true.
It's like her face and her deal, but it's just like, I don't understand.
But like,
I can't wrap my head around it because it just is like not my choice. So I guess I can't even say like, because I would say like, at what point do you cross the line? And then you're just like,
well, you like, look at those, you look at like the bar, like the Russian women who want to look like Barbie. And like they make themselves have like they like enlarge their eyes and like, you know, and then that guy Justin something who like looks like a Ken doll.
Oh, the human Ken doll, yeah. Rodrigo Alvarez or whatever his name is.
Those people, like, it's like almost like a,
it's a that feels like more of a game a little bit.
Yeah, and like definitely some kind of mental.
But then also it's like, well, I guess maybe he not. Like loves it maybe and like just thinks he looks great. It.
Yeah,
I maybe guess. He just like fucks hardcore like. Gets fucked all the time.
He probably does.
Yeah,
guys are into that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Some guys.
I mean, Jocelyn Wallenstein like straight up has a boyfriend.
Yeah,
she like attacked him with scissors, and he's like, "I love this woman." Like they're just like together.
A ride or die.
They're fucking ride or die.
He's younger, right?
Yeah, I think so.
God bless her.
I mean, she's like still got it.
Who I love like, not to go in a different direction, but I love like. An old Hollywood star presenting, and everyone's like, all the younger people being like, who is this? Mm-hmm. Like when Faye Dunaway came out to present Best Picture with Warren Beatty. I mean, that was amazing.
That was like,
we need more of that.
Yeah, we need more. Just like,
I just need more Faye in general.
Yeah, bring Faye back.
Faye slaps
people. Give Faye
a
chance. Faye slaps people.
She calls,
I'm sorry, but if you're a woman in Hollywood, you deserve to like slap a lot of people.
Yeah, her gay assistant, she called him a little homosexual boy. Oh, by the way, the reader, sup reader, Morgan Kennedy Krause, whose Instagram is Stitch Open and Melt. She made me that little homosexual boy. She stitched. Faye Dunaway is getting sued by her former assistant, who's gay, because she called him, apparently referred to him as a little homosexual boy.
He's suing her for saying that.
Yeah,
to him?
Like abuse.
Okay.
And Morgan, who's a fan of you and us, like when we do this stuff, she sent me this amazing stitch, cross stitch that says a little homosexual boy, it framed.
That's beautiful.
And I want this like on my tombstone.
Yeah,
but like anyway, I just had to shout her out.
That's
amazing. But Faye Dunaway slapping people, but yeah, I just want like that kind of, I want people to remember like these are the people that went through hell.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the women.
Their
Hollywood.
Face looks like that, and their assistants look like that, so that you can just be like making YouTube videos.
Exactly. YouTube. Faye Dunaway marathoned so Tana and Jake Paul could get married on YouTube.
Yeah. Faye paved the way. So remember that.
Faye
Next
slapped
time you
her way to the top.
Pull up an old Emma Chamberlain video on YouTube. Just remember that Faye Dunaway has slapped thousands of people and verbally abused
stagehands,
many a homosexual, so that that could happen, and be grateful.
The greatest, and then we'll talk about Gigi's,
and then we'll get into
the greatest video of all time in regards to Faye Dunaway is Bette Davis. I think it was her last appearance on Johnny Carson. Someone, who's the guy who plays Mario in Sex and the City?
Mario Cantone.
Mario Cantone was on that. The guy who talks like this.
Yeah,
he was on that podcast. What's his name? Fucking. Anyway, I'm
the guy.
He's in all those commercials.
Yeah.
Oh God, what's his name?
He was the Iago in the original Lion King.
In Aladdin. Hold on. Gilbert Godfrey.
Gilbert Godfrey.
He was on, and he told this story, and then my friend sent it to me, and then I've just been obsessed with it. But Bette Davis was on Johnny Carson. I think it was her last appearance. She had just had a stroke, so like she was, God bless her, she was on it. She was wearing a little hat.
I love that.
And Johnny Carson said, Bette Davis, who wouldn't you work with for $1 million? Or no, who wouldn't you work with again that you've worked with? You've worked with every star you can imagine. Who is the one star you would never work with again? Without missing a beat, she goes, that I wouldn't work with again? And he goes, yes. And she goes, $1 million Faye Dunaway. And then she and everyone in the audience, and he was like, whoa, you didn't actually have to say that. Like, and she was like, no, I will tell you why. And she proceeds to tell this story about how she was doing a TV movie with Faye Dunaway. She was on time. Betty Davis was on because she's a pro. She's mm-hmm. fucking pro since she was a kid. She was on time and they were waiting for hours. And she goes, and who were we waiting for but Miss Dunaway herself? And she said, she said the whole crew, everyone, all the cast, they were all waiting. Faye Dunaway was like hours late. So Betty got up and she goes, they're all the stage people were eating their little lunches that they provided to them. And she was like, they're all waiting for Faye. And then she tells how she went up and performed for them to keep them entertained. At wow. her, she did the song from Baby Jane to entertain them because fucking Faye Dunaway was taking too long. And she just and she goes, any woman, any man or woman in Hollywood would tell you the exact same thing about Faye Dunaway. Like, just does not care. Just
fucking
God.
That's amazing.
We need that's
ugh. We need honesty. We need raw honesty.
But do you love it? Just this old, like, this elderly, like, Hollywood fucking legend just being like, fucking, I'll tell you who I don't want to work with again. That cretin.
I love her too, being like, I know what these people eating their lunch want to see. Me sing a ditty and then like
performing. The daddy, you know that song from Baby
Yeah, Lynch. I'm like, yeah, I would want to see that, but also like,
she's tap dancing for her meal.
What alchemy?
But like, what? That's a pro.
That is a pro. That's an entertainer at heart.
God. Anyway, watch that video. It's amazing. Tell us what you think of it.
Okay. Let's get into the ghouls. Speaking of
people that Faye Dunaway needs to like
slap.
Yeah.
One by one. I wish they would line up the gallery. I wish we could go in a time capsule back to 2012 or whenever the show was. Line up all the gallery girls and then one by one Faye slaps them.
Here we are. What's wrong with you?
She's like, Eli Klein Gallery, I see.
What a terrible place this is.
Awful.
Awful.
All these white walls everywhere.
Dirt in the floor over there. Don't you have a cleaner?
Dog bowl.
Well, speaking of Eli, we start out with Maggie is getting after. She's like, me and Eli had dinner the other night. I thought things were good with us.
Because he was nice to me.
Which
he wasn't nice to her at
dinner.
No,
he was like abusing her and like sexually
he was like
being weird with her.
Yeah, it was a really awkward dinner.
He tried to get her blackout.
He tried to get her blackout and like berated her man. But really anyways,
and then made her like betray her man.
Yeah,
by like having a secret like inside joke
together. Yeah, and they both like had like a sick delightful meal together where yeah. they both played their horrific roles that they fall into around each other. You know those people that just like bring out the worst in you?
Yeah.
And like you have just like this sick sexual pleasure, but then you also just act like a fucking idiot around.
I think it's like,
why am I like this around this person? You can't help it.
That's I think them. Maggie and Eli Klein have been doing this for
different
lifetimes.
I'll bet if we asked my past life reader,
yeah,
she would confirm.
I've had someone say that someone in my life was from a past
your
life.
Souls find each other again.
Yeah. So Maggie's getting more bitch work. Liz is obviously not moving.
Liz is just like standing there watching, and Eli makes Maggie count all the pebbles that are in these like really hideous bonsai tree sculptures.
And Liz goes, are you really making her doing that? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, that sucks. And Maggie's like, really, Eli? Like, do I have to do this? And he's like, yeah.
And she's like, okay.
So then you see Maggie going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like Emily, the Exorcist of Emily Rose.
It she's is
like,
really
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
She just starts to whisper under her breath and then never stops.
She's like, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. And then Liz is like, whoa, that sucks. And he's like, want to go get a drink and food? And Liz is like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So they just like leave her there. It's like the end of the night and Maggie's stuck counting pebbles.
In the basement.
Well, in the basement of Eli Klein Gallery while he takes Liz for like a bite to eat.
Yeah. And it's like respectful to Liz. Like they have like the opposite of whatever Maggie and Eli were having.
Like, they have like an appropriate boss intern dinner.
I love Liz. She sends her Coke back because it tastes like dishwater detergent, which amazing. I was like, yeah, incredible. And then
they have a wedge salad with like,
yeah, she like gets cheese. Two appetizers. And then she asks Eli one question that prompting him to like give her his entire like oral history.
Yeah.
But I love that like the way that like the gallery girls are is just like so very entitled because it's like you would think that you would take your boss and like you'd want to know what their history is
even
and how they
boring.
Can yeah and you would listen and then be like okay like cool yeah. And she's like, Yeah, I asked him one question, and then he, like, wouldn't stop talking about China. And then it's, like, boring. It's, like,
he's like, so I lost count of how many times he said China. I was like, okay, well, that's his job.
Yeah, like, he owns, like, the premier, like, Chinese contemporary art, like, gallery.
This episode...
So, like, yeah, he's obsessed with China.
This episode, I felt... Well, we'll talk about it more, but Liz was a little place of Nunca in this episode.
Liz definitely...
She surprised.
She turned. Yeah, I forgot about Liz retreating to a place of Nunca.
I was with her last episode and leading up to this point that we'll talk about. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's a no, like, for me.
Sorry, Liz.
So Claudia, Chantal, and the EOC girls are like preparing for a trunk show that Chantal has spearheaded.
Well, they're also installing a new artist. So I take it that their last like art show in the gallery space, which seems like three walls, didn't sell any paintings. So they've moved on to a new artist.
His name's Ethan.
Ethan, and Claudia describes him as an abstract minimalist.
What the fuck did that mean?
I don't actually
know. His paintings, and they're like, I love it. It's like satirical. And they cut to it, and it's like a swirling white. It looks like a cloud.
Chantal goes, his work is mind-boggling, but I don't know. I hope Claudia can sell something.
Yeah, like, Chantal's
not having it.
Chantal, this episode is fully trolling. Like, the trolls against Claudia are now, like, rampant. And yeah. she's gone into that mode where it's everything is Claudia's fault.
Everything's Claudia's fault, and everything Chantal does is to show Claudia how stupid she is.
She's her, like, prophecy to steal her soul and, like... Mm-hmm. make her like withered is like happening.
It's fully formed. Yeah. And like, it's like if this were a Disney like kind of musical, this mm-hmm. would be Chantal's like be prepared moment.
Chantal had did we talk about how she has a collection of like flotsam and jetsams? Like just like this, like not them, the sad weathered mermaids that are like,
yeah,
like look like onions or something. Mm-hmm. She has them in like a closet. So she has her eye on Claudia to be one of them.
To add to the collection.
She goes, Chantal's also wearing an, looks like an airbrushed shawl. Like her shawl was very,
yeah, she's like a really in like a drapey mode.
She also has a giant back tattoo.
Yeah, of like antlers.
Yeah, which was,
her back tattoo looks like the art for Killing of a Sacred Deer.
It looks like the tattoo you get in the movie Hostel after you've like killed someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to prove that you're loyal to us forever mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. That's a very, Chantal's very hostile.
Mm-hmm.
But she, so like, she starts to weigh in on the install to like move things around and troll Claudia.
I mean, I have to say, Chantal actually is getting shit done. So
Chantal seems like with it. Like, Claudia definitely is the kind of personality that like crumbles under pressure. Mm-hmm. And Chantal thrives mostly when someone else is crumbling under yeah. pressure around her. But like, she. I trust that she could
pull
anything off that she set her mind to.
Chantal activates when someone else is suffering.
Yeah.
She's like, here's my moment.
So Chantal steps in and gets like the whole install kind of changed around, and then watches with Lara just sitting there watching Claudia like awkwardly trying to negotiate the prices with this artist.
Yeah. He's like, how much for this one do you think? And she's like, or how much do you guys want for like percentage? And she goes, I think like 50%. And he's like, yeah, that's like,
she's like, is that too high?
Or he goes, no, like, that's like standard.
Yeah. But it's just like, I can't believe that scene was filmed. And then Chantal and Lara look ill.
Yeah.
I'm just calling her Lara now, 'cause I refuse.
Lara. Chantal, like, I think Chantal and Lara basically like retch
mm-hmm.
at like, they're like, oh, Claudia, like, Claudia's incompetence. Like, it makes Chantal physically ill.
Yeah, it makes Chantal ill. Lara, like, can't even control her facial expressions. Like, at least Chantal just, like, always looks the same. Like, it's the same face at any given time. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell her, like, her best friend died. She'd have the same face as yeah. if you told her she just won the lottery.
I mean, like, that's the benefits of being, like...
Yeah, soulless.
Morally questionable.
And, like, Lara's, like, literally turning green in the background, like, shaking and convulsing.
Yeah.
Like, she has strokes out.
It's kind of like... You know, in Fatal Attraction, when Glenn Close like spies on Michael Douglas and his family like having a nice night together, and mm-hmm. she looks through the window and then she just throws up because she can't look. She's like,
yeah,
like, on the side of the house. That's like when Chantal and Lara see Claudia doing something and like not succeeding, it makes them hurl.
Yeah, they hurl together. They hurl so that both of their projectile hurls join and become one mega hurl.
Yeah. And then a face forms and it goes, "Fade me." And then it's Chantal's like demonic possession presence being like, "You need, the time is nigh." That was, I went with it.
I heard the hurling reminds me of an insane story that I heard.
What?
I have to tell it in the bonus episode because I don't think I can like say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I'll write down hurl and then we'll come back to it. So I'll just think about hurling and then like if you're a patron, you'll get the story.
So yeah, Claudia's like just bumbling her way. I mean, it's sad. Like Claudia's clearly
out of her element.
Clearly Claudia knows art and like is intelligent, but I think some people just don't have the, I think it was all too fast and sudden for her, and she's all nervous, and her parents are probably pressuring her. Like, I actually have sympathy for Claudia, because I think she has a vision, but she has her parents breathing down her neck, and she also has, like, Paimon in a dress, in a shawl, in the room next
full
door.
Full Paimon hours.
Like, glaring at her at all times, and just, like...
Judging everything that comes out of her mouth.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like, my sister used to, when she swam, there was a girl who swam with my sister and they always raced against each other and they were like always neck and neck, and Taryn said that this girl used to come up to her before races and go like, "I'm so cold, aren't you cold? Like, I'm really tired." And Taryn would be like, "Maybe I am tired."
So she'd just like fuck with her.
Yeah, she would psych her out, and like that's what I think Chantal does. That
Chantal definitely does that. And Claudia's not like mentally, like, in order for Claudia to thrive, she needs like a lot of people to be around her supporting her.
Yeah.
Being like, "You've got this, Claude, like, get out there. Your hair looks amazing. You're gonna fucking kill this install. Like, it looks incredible. The last one you may not have sold, but you know what? It's okay. Like, those, like, it's, you're not gonna sell all the time." Like, she needs a lot of cheerleaders. Yeah. And like, Chantal is not gonna be your cheerleader.
No, me and you just need to be there going with our arms crossed, going like, "You're doing great.
Claude, no, you're doing amazing.
Claude, it's just stop.
Don't even worry about it, Claude."
And go home
and
get some sleep.
And you go, "Woo!
Woo! Woo!" So Chantal, also I heard someone who went to school with Claudia and said that she was really nice and like beyond chic.
She seems really nice and beyond chic.
Yeah.
It just seems like this wasn't the best fit for her.
She said that this Claudia was like next level on campus. So,
love that. Someone forwarded me an email exchange that she had with Lara and Chantal when they tried to buy something from End of Century.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did it say?
It's amazing. It was like, okay, so I guess this reader tried to buy a pair of tights and then,
a pair of tights.
A pair of tights
from EOC.
Okay, wait. So this reader bought something. Then Lara wrote the reader. She goes, "Hi, thank you so much for shopping at EOC online. Unfortunately, there was an error with our system, and when you purchased the tights, the amount came out to $0. They are priced at $96 each. If you're still interested in purchasing them, let us know. They're correctly priced online now. Apologies for any inconvenience. Best, Lara." Then the reader wrote back, "Hi, Laura."
Wow.
Troll. As someone who's been in this exact scenario, you're trolling. Just thanks for the heads up. I'll have to think about the tights given the price increase. In the meantime, can you please refund the $10.89 for tax and shipping currently outstanding on my card? Thanks. Then Chantal weighed in. She goes, "Hi, I'm surprised you thought you would not get one but two pairs of tights for free. Wouldn't that be lucky? Your card has been refunded and you should get an email notifying you shortly. Best, Chantal." Then the reader wrote back, "Hi, Chantel."
Holy fuck, this person is my hero.
"I'm surprised you're running a retail business and posting free merchandise on the internet. I guess you can't be bothered with menial details such as price. Thanks for all your help, and you're most welcome for the assistance in troubleshooting your website design. Best."
Did they respond to that?
No, that was it.
Wow.
So everyone
My heart
got,
was racing.
Yeah, everyone got like super cunty with each other in a matter of minutes.
Hi, Chantel.
Hi, Chantel.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah. Wild.
That reader is chef's kiss.
Reader goals.
So then we cut to Liz and her mom. Liz and her mom are, they're cute.
They're
like,
cute. They're like making a lobster.
Yeah, her mom just seems like a lovely mom, like rich mom.
Yeah, she's very rich mom, like who is like, I love too that they're wearing like a white t-shirt over, they're like, it's like
a bib.
Just trying to like cover it all up.
They're like, I'm going to wear a lobster bib. She's like, can
Except
I use one of your shirts?
Instead of a bib, it's just like, she bought a pack of like Hanes at Duane Reade on the way over.
Yeah. My nana used to wear napkin bibs every time she ate. So it reminded me of that. But Liz opens up about her sobriety and how she was like
an addict. A mess at 19.
Yeah. And like she did a lot of drugs and she went to various treatment centers. And like it was kind of nice to hear her like be open about it.
Yeah. And she says that her and her dad had like a falling out after these like teen years. Like she feels like he's never really forgiven her for
he
like
seems
how
like a
bad
dick.
She was. And I mean, like they seem distant from each other.
She basically is like, my dad will never forgive me for being like not
messy, I guess.
Yeah. And like she said, but she said the best thing my mom ever did was tell me that she loves me during that time.
She hasn't heard her dad say, I love you, in 10 years.
Yeah. But her mom apparently, like, stuck with her through the whole thing. Her parents are divorced. And the mom, like, that's what you, when your child is in
crisis,
you give them unconditional love.
Yeah.
You don't, especially if it's an addiction, like, it's a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You don't just, like, turn your back on them and be like, God, you're a real failure.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, a, some program stuff was being dealt with in this moment.
Yeah.
It was refreshing.
It was refreshing. It was like, okay, you have like high stakes, Liz, and like a big struggle.
Yeah.
And like, thanks for being real about it.
It made me like kind of get her more, but also.
But then she really burns it all down.
Well, then we cut to.
Well, there's also a really funny moment where they eat like one lobster a piece, which is not enough food for anyone. And then Liz is like, I'm really hungry still. Like, I think I need to make some like mac and cheese. And her mom goes, well, that's the way you are, but I think that's enough. And Liz is like, no, I'm like going to fully eat more food. Thanks, though.
We're just going to have one lobster.
Yeah. But I love like that mother-daughter moment is like very, like that's a real moment.
Also, when the mom goes, I didn't hear any of them screaming, so I think they're ready.
They were really worried about the lobster screams.
It's like the sounds of the lambs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Angela is like, I love her.
I love her.
She's a hustler.
She's a hustler, but she starts to kind of become, like, this is where it becomes, like, a little bit grating.
Yeah, this episode... Like, She went into like babe question mark territory a little.
Yeah. This is the rumblings of Angela's ashes. Yeah.
We cut to her apartment building, which I'm pretty sure I've been in before.
I'm sure you have.
In Williamsburg. She's a waitress at a hip Williamsburg eatery. That's like one of her side hustles.
She doesn't want to be a waitress anymore.
She hates being a waitress. But you know what? Gotta give it to her. She's from a rich family who cut her off, and she's like, she's doing what she can to survive in the city.
Yeah.
And she's also
making it happen. She's event photographing.
Mm-hmm. She goes, you know, to various like downtown events. Alex, her
trusty gay, comes over.
Who she refers to as a gossiping gay, mm-hmm. comes over. I love how I was okay with her saying my gaze once, and now I'm kind of like, shut up.
She fell into like the Bravo my gaze trap.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Like I think she deeply like respects Alex.
Yeah.
And like thinks he's cool and like doesn't consider him like her token gay friend. I think she's like, he's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, my gaze once, shame on me.
Yeah.
My gaze twice.
My gaze once, shame on the gaze. My yeah. gaze twice, shame on you.
Shame on you. Like, you are friends with a lot of gay people.
Yeah. And I've said...
A lot of gay men.
I've said a lot of, like, the gays, like, referred to the gays right. on this well, podcast you're, but and you're other also podcasts, but I'd say that, like, jokingly.
And you're queer. And
yeah, and
like,
I wouldn't say, like, my gaze this.
Yeah. But, like...
And my number of gays has really gone down, I think, over the past, like, couple years. But I wouldn't even say, like, my gay, because yeah. there's not one gay.
But, yeah, she's... But that's... Beside the point.
Anyways, yeah.
So she is working at a paper magazine event, which I used to work at.
I know. You and Alex both work.
I think that's...
It was Alex, right?
I think he worked at paper.
So that's how you know each yeah. other.
No, he wasn't there when I was there, but I think I just know him from like that scene.
Your spirits knew... Your auras existed in the same realm.
Paper Mag has had a lot of people walk through those halls.
Yeah.
It's a great... Brooke Shields interned there.
Wow.
In the 80s.
That's chic. Is that where she was discovered?
No, I think she was just friends with Kim and David, who are the founders of it.
That's cool.
It's like paper is a crate. Like they're more online now, I think. I mean, they still do like print stuff, and their stuff is incredible.
They featured Jocelyn Wildenstein on the cover of one of their issues.
Yeah. Paper.
I saved that to the desktop.
I'm proud to have worked there.
You should be.
Thanks. I just got a little like.
A little teary.
No, I'm kidding.
So Angela and Alex are going to pick out her outfit for photographing this like event in Dumbo. And she decides to go as a puritanical slut.
Yeah. She was like, I'm going. And he's like, do you want to have sex tonight? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, then don't wear that.
Well, she tried to wear like that quilt outfit.
This the sheer one?
No, the like zip up pink pillowcase outfit. And Alex was like, no.
And then she wore that.
Then she wore a puritanical slut with like a weird like hat.
She and then like, he she was like a space nun.
Yeah. He was like, it looked like that Dior show where they all dress like kind of cowgirls. It was a recent Dior show with those hats. And I was like, wow, she's ahead of her time with these like fashion looks.
She kind of is.
She is. And then he's like, I kind of hate that outfit, but I also love it. And she's like, I do too. I love it. And
so
then,
that's when you know it's good.
Yeah. So that's when she suffers for fashion and she's just going to do it, even though it's like completely impractical and like everyone and their mother are going to like bump your hat through the course of the night, but it's fine.
I wrote my queen.
My dear diary, I love Angela, my queen. Carrie O'Donnell.
So they head to the event, and it's a well, first we cut to Amy and Carrie are going to a print fair to meet Sharon.
Reached peak.
Her hair is from 1983, like Housewife on the Upper East. Like, I don't know. I think Amy is a time traveler.
Amy is a time traveler because she's wearing like a full like house dress that like a housewife would wear to like vacuum in.
Carrie's wearing like pants.
Carrie's like sensible.
She looks great.
She looks amazing. Amy has like a lazy eye and a Birkin. I'm like, why do you have a Birkin? Who is this lady?
I think I truly believe she's like fallen through like a time gap.
It's like Pleasantville or it something, is. But the opposite, yeah. Where Amy just like woke up one day on the Upper East Side, but she's
what's all this? Yeah.
What is this? Let me get my handbag.
My Birkin. So they go to meet Sharon.
Sharon gives him an assignment.
Well, first Sharon introduces him to a philanthropist from Portland, which I was like, maybe there's like. Yeah, she's like, he's my main guy and I'm here for him. So you guys have to like find stuff that I would think would be good for him. It's like, it's like her test.
Yeah. It's basically like, let me get a sense of how psychotic you really are.
You hear Carrie say to someone, I'm like really particular with picking and choosing, which I was like, okay.
I think Carrie has like a good eye and a good sense of stuff.
But that was like when that line, I was like,
yeah, they
but I've
have
also
to,
like said I say that stuff every day.
They have to go around. Carrie's like very business and like thoughtful about this assignment and really like giving it her all. And Amy flounces around. Her dress is like a flounce. She's just like, and she's walking through this art fair in her little heels with her Birkin on her arm. Yeah. She looks like she's about to go like grocery shopping for a ham.
She looks like a passerby in the cartoon movie Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, like she's little not feet. Real. Like,
she also goes, I have good taste.
She goes, boring. Yeah. I need something innovative.
And she goes, I got to get this. She's to the camera. She goes, I got plans later. I got to get this done. I'm on a time crunch.
I have plans later.
Yeah. So Amy's got somewhere to go, which we'll see where she goes. But
Amy's on the move.
Amy's like literally just going, that one. Okay, I'm done.
She fully has the most Tony energy of any Bravo celebrity I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I've said it once, I'll say it again. She was full-blown Tony in that moment.
She's just going around going, that one.
Boring. I'm innovative. I have plans.
I got plans. And then she. So then we cut back to Angela, and they're at the end of Century Girls.
Or like at the Brooklyn Dumbo
Paper Magazine Creators Project.
I don't know.
I haven't heard of it.
Angela's like getting pretty people together to take photos, but then she reveals that while event photography does pay the bills, she's very creatively unfulfilled by it, and she'd rather just take arty pictures of her friends.
So she just proceeds to stop taking photos of like anyone that's being featured at this show and just start taking photos of Chantal and Claudia like doing Suspiria like
dances movements, yeah,
and like under pink lighting.
Yeah, she takes like an especially unflattering photo of Claudia with like shadows all over her face. Yeah. And then like a kind of okay one, and I'm like, wow, you're trolling Angela's yeah. photography abilities.
There's a shot of this like swirling like pink vortex on the projected on a wall, and you see Claudia and Chantal like trying to conjure it, and then Angela, so it, like Paper Magazine probably saw those photos and were like, cool, you just took photos of your weird friends.
Great. So there's like 4,800 photos of like these two girls, and then there's 30 photos of people that were actually at the event. Yeah.
I'm sure they were really happy knowing how that place works. So we cut to
Amy.
Her plans realized. So Amy went to Dorian's, which... Several
her favorite
people.
Bar. So people know about this bar, right?
This bar was apparently the site of a murder. There was. Do you remember that yuppie killer guy?
No.
From the '80s, that hot like Upper East Side guy who was like a lacrosse player. I think he was called the Yuppie Killer. He was like a serial killer, and he murdered someone at Dorian's.
I feel
Robert
like
Emmett Chambers. This guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's hot.
It was. It had killer. A very like a Brett Easton Ellis, like Patrick Bateman sound to it.
Yeah. So he pleaded guilty to manslaughter. I think he got away with it because he was like rich. Chambers had secured bail through his family and the owner of the bar, Jack Dorian, who put up. So Dorian's,
mm-hmm.
who put up his townhouse as collateral for a bail bond. So Dorian's
a storied history.
Nefarious history.
And then also Amy weirdly knows one of the owners of Dorian's. Didn't
yeah.
she mention in the last episode? She was like, I know Jeff.
Yeah.
But like, does she know him? What was the murder?
He killed her in Central Park. He went to prep schools. He was a coke addict. His favorite bar was Dorian's Red Hen Bar on East 84th Street, where Amy goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he met her at Dorian's, and then like that's maybe how the murder. Someone correct me. A few people have sent me stuff, but
whoa.
So Dorian is like a cursed place.
It's a cursed location.
It's like the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, it's like where Paimon is summoned,
and he's at work tonight because Amy is.
Amy is on one.
She goes. Dorian is like cheers. You see Amy just with a bunch of guys.
She's just with a bunch of like. It's like the fleece vest bros
yeah.
are like the kind of guys that Amy likes to binge drink with.
Uh-huh.
And then she invites Maggie and her like bro boyfriend to come and meet her. And it felt like this was the first time that they were ever meeting.
Yeah, she went, Maggie?
Yeah, she goes, Maggie? And then Maggie's like, yeah. And she's like, ah!
I think
like,
she was just blackout.
Okay.
Because they met before in the other episode.
Yeah, but maybe like the way this was edited, like this scene was filmed first or something.
That's true.
But she has Maggie come, and then Maggie brings that cute friend, Eric. So maybe it wasn't the first time, and Amy is just blackout.
You just see Amy holding several bottles of beer. She's doing like the kiss tongue. She's like...
She's the kind of girl that grabs every guy like by the back of their neck
yeah.
and kind of like strokes it.
Yeah.
And then is like, blah, like comes in like too close to say something to
them. I think she's not with any girlfriends. I think she's just
rogue at Dorian.
She's rogue at Dorian.
Amy shows up to Dorian's at like 4:30 p.m. She's like, I have somewhere to be tonight. She
yeah.
shows up at 4:30 p.m. and just starts like railing beers.
At one point, someone goes, how many drinks have you had? And she goes, six. So she
takes Maggie into the bathroom where she delivers the speech of the century.
Well, first she goes, she tells Maggie, Eric is the nicest guy in the world. And Maggie goes, yeah, I like Eric a lot. He has a great apartment.
Okay.
Like she was like, that's her, the lone quality she can pick out about him.
Summon of Eric.
And he goes, and then Maggie and Amy goes, I don't care about that stuff. Who do you think I am? Do you even know who I am? And Maggie goes, not really. She literally goes, not really. No, I just met you. Which made me kind of love Maggie.
Yeah, that was a good one for Maggie. Point for Maggie. But then also, like, I see what Amy's point, like, the point she's trying to make is that she doesn't care about the kind of apartment a guy lives in. She just wants, like, a guy who really loves her. Like, if she was sober and could express herself, that's what she would
totally
have said.
She goes, I'm looking for love.
But instead, what came out was,
she goes, I come from a, she talks like this, I come from a rich family. I come from a good family. I don't need money. I'm looking for love.
You literally are channeling Amy.
I'm looking for love. And then you see Maggie go, okay. And meanwhile, Amy has, like, her hand on the door of the bathroom so, like, no one can get in. And
yeah.
Maggie's pressed. Maggie's so much
tiny
smaller.
In stature. So Amy's boxed her in to tell her that she doesn't care. She kind of is talking like the Federation.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care about any of that.
And then she goes,
I want love. You can be a man who lives in a trailer park. Man who lives in a... She goes, he could come from Harlem or he could come from the Upper East Side. I don't care about that.
And then Maggie goes, I'm a little nervous. Amy's going to flush me down the toilet. and then Maggie goes, this is exactly why I don't hang out with other girls. Which I was like, go fuck yourself.
Okay, well.
And then...
as soon as you think you're getting close to a gallery girl, they pull the fucking rug out from under you. And you're like, damn it.
This is why I hate girls.
This is why I hate girls.
And then so, but Amy's...
She's like, oh, so this is what Liz was talking about when she said Amy is like a liability, like a blackout liability.
I know. I get what you're saying. Like, I felt for Amy because, like, I've been... It's like she's burying herself farther to
she's
hold
deeper.
She's
just a try hard. She just was, like, uncomfortable in her own skin and shouldn't drink so much.
I wrote, Amy should be on The Bachelor.
Yeah, she'd be great on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
She's great on the show.
She is.
We had given this show a chance to really, like, find its sea legs, I think that Amy would have been a gay icon by the time everything was said and done.
I think Amy should be on The Real Housewives of New York.
Please, God.
But she lives in Miami now.
I know, and Miami housewives are done. Amy needs to move back to New York and then join up with Real Housewives. She already dresses and acts like one of them.
Andy Cohen said it's the show that he gets asked about most.
Mm-hmm.
Gallery Girls.
Yeah.
When's it coming back? That's what you said.
Yeah.
Oh, I just quoted you. That's called mansplaining.
I love that.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it's like everyone loved Gallery Girls and wants it back, but it just like could never, it was lightning in a bottle.
So then Maggie's like grabs her boyfriend. She goes, we're going. I was like, leave.
Yeah. If you're that traumatized by like
a woman just
Amy
being,
just like,
having a girl moment in the
scream
bathroom.
Scream rasping at you. Like, whatever.
Everyone has had a friend scream rasp with them in a bar.
Also, it's like, look around. This is the kind of bar where you get shit-faced and then, like, scream rasp at a friend in the bathroom. Like, that was my entire college in Chicago experience, was going to a place exactly like Dorian's, scream rasping, and then, like, losing my underwear.
And losing your credit card. That's what
I
did.
Yeah, and, like, leaving my card at the bar.
Me too. That was
me
going...
And then, like, taking, like, redheaded sluts. Those were like the shots that I always loved to like take.
That was me and you, like going to Metropolitan Bar in Williamsburg. That was my Dorian's. Mm-hmm. And going there every Friday morning because I left it there the night before, and the bartender's going, we'll see you later, Carrie. probably see you tomorrow when you come by. And I was like, great.
It was me like making out with a guy in the booth and then like taking my underwear off, and then the next like week going back and seeing him, and I was like, what happened to my underwear? Like, I went home and I didn't have them on. He goes, you wanted me to have them. And I was like,
take these.
No, take them. Just take them.
And snow.
No, you take these. Take them.
Think of me when you take them.
Like, just being like, here you go.
That's like when I used to give my friends wads of money. I used to give my friends dollar bills and just be like, here, take it.
Take it.
And they were like, okay.
That was me and my undies.
And then you hear Amy, you see Amy at the bar, and she just says to a random guy, are you really drinking Michelob Light? You're the love of my life.
I was like, I get that. I too loved a Michelob Ultra Light back in the day.
Know.
I love Amy.
So then we go to
Liz.
Liz is at an... So Liz is at SVA. First of all, she's in this like painting workshop. Her teacher is a Christopher Guest character.
Her teacher is unreal.
He's like, I want to feel it. I want to feel what you... He's just like hamming it up for the cameras.
Yeah. He's like, don't make me question everything.
Yeah. Make me question my fucking reality.
And then I wrote, wow, art school seems tough. just seems hard that people are like, draw an everyday object, but make me question it.
Make me question my sanity.
Like, what does that mean?
Make me question God.
It's too subjective for me. Like, yeah. I need like a clear cut. I need something a little more clear cut than that.
Yeah. And he's
like, write an essay about XYZ. I can like totally come up with whatever, but like, draw a bobby pin and make me question everything is like,
yeah,
does not compute.
He was a lot. So,
he was a lot, but I love his energy.
Oh,
I love
too.
How much ass he kisses of Liz.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly he wants in on like whatever her dad's got going on.
Okay. I'm just going to say it.
Just say it.
Liz is not good at painting.
Liz is not a great artist. Her skills lie in probably many other realms, but like as far as art is concerned, that ain't it.
She
has a real chip on her shoulder about like the Asian community.
Okay, so this is where Liz lost it for me, is when she's doing her painting, and it's like just she's one of those people that has like random like string and a button tied on the painting.
But then later in the episode we see other paintings that she's done, and there's like no theme or perspective that's like tying into her work.
Well, I want to talk about one of them later.
One of them is like a nurse.
Well, it's
and it's like a Richard Prince
it's
knockoff.
A Richard Prince knockoff.
Yeah,
I didn't know if she was doing an homage to him or she was just fucking
just being Liz. I mean, she just is like, it's just her sensibility is not that of a painter.
No.
I think Liz could be an amazing stylist.
Or like a gallery or like an
art gallery owner or like an art collector or like a Sharon type to like tell people what art to pick.
Yeah,
or just like get out of the art world altogether.
Get away from your dad.
Get away from your dad because you're really like painting to get his attention. He's never going to give it to you. And your paintings aren't going to help.
I did see.
Because they're really bad. Maybe if they were better, you would get that kind of love, but it wouldn't even satisfy you because it wouldn't be real.
I know.
It would just be
when
based
I saw
on
her
the
painting,
paintings.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay.
When I saw her paintings, I saw, my dad doesn't love me.
Yeah. And like, that's...
Or my dad, I don't think my dad loves me.
Yeah, and that's like, if you're waiting for your paintings to get it, it ain't, that's not the
that
way.
That was so mean. Not that her dad... I want my dad to say he loves me when I saw her paintings.
Yeah. Her dad struggles resonate with me.
Yeah.
From one daddy issues person to the next, like, I totally get it. But, like, am I going to try and become, like, a neurosurgeon? No. Go your own way. Fleetwood Mac. You know what I mean? I think she gets it now. Maybe.
Butch.
But I feel like she also maybe doesn't, because I think she's, like, photographed.
Yeah, she thinks she's a great artist.
Yeah.
So then she has a freak out because...
Someone stepped on her, like, shitty collage.
One of her, like... classmates, she was like on the floor at one point and she's like, oh my god, there's like a sneaker mark on my, she's like, and she keeps referring to her painting as her thing, which
my
I thought was funny.
Yeah, which is like, you don't have confidence in this work enough to like call it what it is.
And there's like blurred out classmates, and she goes, no, the foot's not big enough, it's that one. And she points to this guy who's Asian, and she goes everyone runs around and hides here. She goes, they're all like quiet little Asian people and scared. And I was like,
that's on the other, it's like woo, woo, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it's like,
it was like Parisian.
Yeah, it's a Euro. It's a Euro.
I was like, nunca.
Nunca. Mm-mm-mm. Nunca.
She lost it there for me.
Yeah, that was tough.
I think her, this moment in her class was, she was a fucking brat and entitled and racist.
Like, get over it.
That was just racist.
That was it was racist.
And she said it to an Asian person.
I know. It's like,
that was,
it's pretty
that
wild.
Was unbelievable that, yeah, they, that like,
Bravo. This was when like Bravo and other reality shows loved like a light, like, or just like a hardcore racist moment.
This was also when the stars in the show didn't have sway over the production.
Yeah.
Cause now like the housewives all like Kyle and like, the Bethany's of it all,
mm-hmm,
they like kind of,
they run the show.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't like paint them in a bad light.
So that was bad.
It was not great.
I wrote honey, fuck her.
I wrote Liz attacks the Asian community.
I was not here for that, like, in kind of,
it was, Liz became, unlikable in that moment. Liz's teacher, however, loves her work and thinks that the person stepping on, whoever stepped on it, did her favor because it made her like white out some of it and it really made the whole piece come together. And he's like effusively praising her collage.
She's like, thanks, I know.
She's like, yeah, I mean, like,
obviously,
like, it was hard, but like, I got through it. And like, it's just like, oh my God. Like,
she also talks about her. She's like, everyone here in this class, like, knows me because of my dad.
He's like, plays into it too. Cause he's like, isn't it strange that of all the paintings that got stepped on, it was yours? And I'm just like, God, this guy really knows how to play the game.
She's like, everyone in here is looking at me because of my dad. They don't think I belong here, but like, I'm as good as they are. And I'm like, no one knows who your dad is.
And no one cares. They're thinking about what a freak you are because you have a camera crew in like your painting class.
Yeah.
Only person that's ever coming out here with a reality TV crew.
She sounded like Jemé King
running around. Yeah. Jemé. She took a turn.
She was like the camera. She's like, God, she's like basically like talking out loud so everyone can hear her. And she's like, what a nuisance in that class she must be.
Yeah.
Even without the cameras.
Can you understand? Like, it's like, you're just trying to, like, you're already getting assigned tasks that are difficult, like a painting with this teacher who's, like, off the rails. And then, like, you have Liz here, like, rolling her eyes and being like,
none of you know what real art is. Ugh. My father, like, yeah. I know what art is.
Anyways, like, I was running around, like, playing hide and seek behind, like, Rembrandt's.
It's okay.
Who does that? Liz.
Liz.
Come on.
So then we cut to Carrie and Amy meet Sharon at a restaurant, and they both show Sharon what they picked from the print fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie goes first, and she takes a risk. She shows like a very obscure, what she thinks is an obscure painting or a print that she found. And Sharon, like, looks at it for a minute and she goes, I have to say I would pick this too.
Yeah.
Like, Carrie nailed it.
Yeah, she loves Carrie's choice and, like, Carrie gets points for that.
And then we cut to Amy and Amy goes, wow. She goes, wow, I picked out the very well-known artist, Damien Hirst. I think that would be good. And I was like, okay.
Okay, cool, Amy.
Like,
great.
And then Sharon goes, well, I would want you to dive a little deeper.
Amy, like, has no common sense.
No.
Then we see that Amy gets her hair. Oh, wait, well, first.
So that Carrie, you know, love, game, set, match, Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie has won this internship so far.
I love that. It's a Damien Hirst. It's like,
I picked someone a little more well-known. It's Damien Hirst. Yeah, like, I'm sure everyone who collects art would love to have a Damien Hirst.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, but she's like, she pretends like she won.
Yeah.
You can tell that she's like, I won.
She's like, Carrie doesn't really know that much about art. She just got lucky because she happened to pick something that Sharon liked. She's like, yeah, that's the whole fucking point of this exercise, you nitwit.
So we go back to EOC's trunk sale. Oh no, first we're getting ready for a trunk sale. Okay.
Chantal's putting on a trunk show for jewelry and she literally makes like a satanic altar to Hail Paimon in the back. It's the ugliest. The lighting is so unflattering. It looks like you are going to sacrifice.
It's like fucking Hellraiser. Like on a mantle.
Hellraiser on a mantle.
The Crow, like Brandon Lee and the Crow, like black lipstick and like Harlequin, like the Crow slits.
Did Paimon make that? I don't know.
No, I think Nettie made that. I think it's a Nettie.
The jewelry designer.
But I'll post this photo on the
it's
Facebook
an ungodly
page.
Creation. It's, whatever it is, it ain't right.
It looms in the background in so many shots.
Bone chilling.
Every time it came on screen, I was so freaked out by it. And I'm like, why is no one in this store acting like that thing is there?
I didn't even. It's like the Ghostbusters painting that comes to life. It is literally the gallery that Chantal has turned this end of century into. I didn't even see the face on it. That's how, like, my brain. My brain literally was like, a no to that.
Look, it's going to haunt me tonight. That.
I just saw like the geometric shapes and like the melted candles.
It has green eyes. If you look deep, this is the demon that's possessing Chantal.
And like destroying Claudia. Chantal invokes the spirit of this demon every night before she goes to sleep.
I was like, how is no one, everyone's pretending like this thing isn't on the wall. This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. It is not art. It is an ungodly thing. It is not of this earth. It is forged in hell. And Nettie Kent has brought it to life.
Chantal like literally like dug that up in an alley somewhere. Like a voice came to her and was like, dig. And then she just started digging in an alley and like uncovered.
It's Paima. It's like the face of Charlie at the end of Hereditary with like her head on like the statue.
Yes.
That's literally what that looks like.
Chantal's like, well, Claudia's really gone and done it again. So I guess I have no choice but to invoke Paima and here in the gallery. And then erects an altar.
An effigy to
Paima. An effigy to Paima.
You hear this music when you see. Think of this while you're looking at the...
While you're looking at the trunk show. You enter the end of century trunk show.
And this is it.
That is the EOC trunk show.
Anyway, that's from Hereditary.
Oh my God. You need to put that... Okay.
Yeah.
You're on it. Carrie's on it. Don't worry.
So she's doing a trunk show because Chantal's like, we got to set this shit in high gear. Like, we have $86 in our bank.
We have a bill, outstanding bill for $83 that we can't pay. So it's time to bring in Paimon.
She brings in Nettie Kent. Which
Chantal's like, which is just like an AKA another witch that they can like summon the demon who will like give them the money they so seek.
Yeah. Nettie Kent is
the riches they seek to pay the $83 bill.
So
it's like strings of leather is also like the it's like long dangly earrings and like burlap
and apparently tights
and tights. I don't know.
So Angela, we cut to Angela in Williamsburg. So Angela says, my gays have convinced me that I need to date older established men because of what I'm seeking.
Yeah.
So she says, I've always been into middle-aged men on the verge of a middle-life crisis. And this guy, Peter, that my friend Alex set me up with, seems like he fits that bill. So enter Peter, who's actually hot.
Who's hot and just like, I'd let him throw it in me.
Yeah.
Peter seems like he didn't get his fair due here because I think he's like probably a really interesting person. He like takes photos of trees. Like he's an actual artist, right?
I think Alex knows cool people and like was probably like, hey, this really nice, straight, cute, like kind of nerdy artist wants to meet you.
And then Angela's like, cool. And then as soon she goes, that spends the entire date asking Peter like if he has access to the same things that like she has as like a young 20 something. And when he's like, no, she's like, oh my God, you don't have Facebook, like everything. She's like, let me see your phone. Like, what? And like,
he takes
acts
out a flip
like he's
phone.
A freak.
She like kind of belittles him.
She shames him.
He also says like, I only shoot on film and not digital. And she goes, we're definitely not a match.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
All right,
what?
Ange.
And then, yeah.
She goes, do you have Facebook? And he's like, no. She's like, what?
Today, I'd be like, oh my God. If I was
Thank
on a first
God.
Date and someone was like, I have a flip phone, I'd be like, wow, you're.
I know how far times have come. If someone was like, I don't have Facebook, I'd be like, I'll suck your dick right now. Like, that is actually. I'm actually like, if they do have Facebook,
I'm concerned.
We're never going to work. And I'm also saying that as someone that does have Facebook.
When he whipped out his flip phone, I thought, hot.
Yeah.
I was like, that's sexy. I bet he has a hot... I bet he's really rich. He probably makes so much money from his pieces.
He just, like, flips up his phone. Like, he just, like, is, like, shooting on film, which is an expensive medium in the first place, and then, like, has so much money that he can't be bothered to like switch up the phone.
He probably has, like, an amazing...
He has no needs. All he needs to do is answer his phone.
He probably has a sick, like... At that time, like, some, like, sick, like, out in Bushwick, like, a huge loft and, like, fucks just, like, on a table in the middle of it.
Peter's
That's what
sexy.
I was thinking of.
Yeah. TBD, but, like, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I wish I got to know more about Peter. She was, what do you shoot? He's like,
was
what
I projecting
do you shoot?
Too much? Maybe I don't know if I was even thinking. I think as I thought about it more, I was thinking about his trappings.
Maybe, but like.
But we didn't know.
We'll never know.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He seemed like a nice guy who had a lot of potential. Angel's like, what do you shoot? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And then now I really have gotten into trees. She goes, trees?
He goes, he's like, I flew to Korea to film this really cool, like, rare. And then he's like, and the editing was like, cut it. So it's like, he's blabbing on and on about it. And
they really do a real number on like older people on the show. They're like, if you're above 40, you're boring. Yeah. Like, shut up. And then like, Angela's like, is your phone broken? Like, it seems like it's broken. He's like, no, I just turned it off. Like, because we're on a date. It's like a sweet, respectful person.
And he's like talking about a shrimp.
He ate like a live shrimp and like tells her he's like well traveled.
He goes, he said he made it funny. He went, can you take that out?
Made it funny?
Yeah.
I refuse.
No, please.
The readers need to know. The readers need to know.
No. I'm editing.
I liked that.
I'm against free speech.
He made it funny. He did make it funny.
He says, that's a lot of background for one prawn. I thought that was cute.
He was cute. Peter was like an eligible bachelor.
Yeah, he seemed like sweet and elegant and respectful.
He's a real established artist, so like that's something to be said.
He turned his phone off.
He turned his phone off to honor the date.
What's with your phone?
Is it broken?
He's like, no, I just want to be present.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she like shakes his hand and like walks off.
Angela like, also goes, I love coriander. Coriander is my favorite herb. And I was like, whoa.
I might be done with Angela.
Yeah, I was like,
She just, it was just like a mean, she seemed like she was being mean to him. I mean, maybe it was the editing, but like, I was like, this is like a guy who's, like, they hugged, and then like, you could tell he was like, oh, okay, like, what did I just do?
Yeah, but I think she kind of also gets off on being mean to guys a little bit, because it's like a insecurity thing within herself.
Yeah, he probably was like, wow, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, I just filmed myself being bullied by a young person.
I mean, Peter, if you're out there, hit either of us up.
Yeah.
We're interested. Confirm or deny if you fuck on, like, a table in your Bushwick loft.
With no other furniture.
With no other
furniture.
Just,
like, a picnic table.
Just a table. Yeah.
And, like, Alex was probably like, why were you mean to my friend?
Yeah. Also, Alex, like, give us the backstory on Peter. What's Peter's deal?
If you're listening.
Link me.
Alex tweeted me and said Angela's doing well. He said, do you want a wellness check? She's doing great.
She's thriving.
So,
she has a cottage upstate and is like just like taking really amazing pics of her outfits. Where I'm like, yeah, you are a model.
God bless her.
God bless.
Amy
gets her hair done.
Four times a week. That's not healthy.
No. And also it's just like,
yeah, we cut to like a splice of like what Carrie does.
Carrie's just always hustling.
Amy's frivolous.
Amy's just like getting cool. Her hair done, like getting it weirdly straightened.
It's fried.
Yeah.
It looks hot.
It's fried to hell and back. She says, she's like, the more you color it, it gets dry and it holds the curl. And I'm like, maybe that might be true, but also like, you need to put down the hair straightener.
She sleeps with rollers.
Amy is not of this era.
She sleeps in high heels.
You never know when you're going to need to be on the move. Her flouncing around in like a hoop skirt.
I love getting my hair done.
Get my hair done like four times a week.
I get my hair done like four times a week. It's just what I do. It relaxes me.
She's a fucking bull in a china shop coming into that hair salon. She's like, hey, can I get my hair done? Like, it's just like crazed energy.
Yules.
It was a full Yules. Yeah. It was a Yuletide greeting.
So then we also, I wrote, this whole sequence feels like I'm speeding on Adderall.
Yeah.
Because it was like the way it was, I like, maybe it was because of the coffee I just drank, but for some reason, like, they were like zooming really close on Amy and like it was really spliced together and like their voices were like mixing over each other.
Yeah. It was a lot of info. It's like, we get it. Carrie's a hustler and Amy has dry hell hair.
Four times a week.
I get it done four times a week. It's just like easy for me. Liz meets her dad for a sad dinner.
They go to Sarah Beth's and she's clearly the scapegoat of the family. Her dad, like,
It was like a kind of an awkward, like not a lot of talking dinner.
Yeah, she's like, I just feel like I have to earn back his trust, which like everyone who's gone through recovery like gets that, but like it seems like she's been sober for a minute, so it's like I think he should be a little more supportive of her.
Yeah, what price, Dad?
Yeah, she's like nothing. She's like, she says something like, I could be, my car could be stolen, and I would call him and be like, Dad, I need your help, and he'd be like, what did you do to make this happen?
Yeah,
but like how it, like he would blame me. Which made me sad.
It's sad.
It's like, I don't think Liz gets validated. And, yeah.
She shows him that, her art.
He's
like, cool, keep going keep to school. He's like, stay in school, kid.
Yeah. And he's like, she's like, are we going to go on vacation soon as a family? And he's like, I got a lot to go. I got to go to Portugal.
Yeah.
Barcelona. And she's like, oh, okay.
It's just like not.
It was sad.
It was sad.
It felt like we shouldn't be watching it.
Yeah, it was like no, and it TMI. Felt like really he didn't want to be there either. Like he seemed aware of the cameras and like the awkwardness factor. It was just like uncomfortable for all.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bravo.
Yeah, I really wish you hadn't shown us that.
Angela has her friend Ben over, who's she says is realistic. He's a writer. I'm a successful writer.
And Alex comes over as well, and they're coffee. Here to like coach her on like how to put a show together.
She goes, how do I establish myself as an artist slash it girl?
She goes, I need to be buzzworthy.
And Alex is like, okay, like what do you Alex is like, I was like, Alex is actually being more realistic in this moment, because he's like kind of, Alex is like, I will plan an event for you,
yeah,
to like feature your art and to like kind of debut you into like the New York downtown society.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela's like, okay, but I want to be buzzworthy. And he's like, well, I was thinking like an intimate dinner. And she's like, no, I want hundreds of people there. And he's like, okay, but like no one knows who you are.
Yeah. And he's like, it doesn't really matter about the art. You just need like a really good, like cool party. And like the art doesn't, it's like neither here nor there. Like she's like, kind of just like, I know how to make this like chic.
And she's like, no, it's all about the art.
Yeah. And then it turns out that she has like only 10 photos that she's like ever taken, like on her iPhone.
And Ben says they're not good.
Yeah. Ben's like, they could be better.
And
like,
and
maybe you should shoot more. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to shoot more. So it's like,
she has like Harry Potter glasses on. She has her like
artist glasses on.
She's like, Ben made me feel terrible.
Yeah.
But it's motivating me. And I was like, listen, Alex.
It's just not, I don't get, like, whatever's to come is unfortunate.
Speaking of unfortunate, we cut to the trunk show at End of Century,
where everyone gathers for a sacrifice.
Carrie brings Amy and her hairstylist named Smith.
Smith, who truly, I'd forgotten gorgeous. About this hairstylist friend of Carrie's.
He's
it's
so
like
hot.
The edgiest thing she's ever done.
It kind of made me like really respect Carrie.
Yeah, I was like, Carrie's cool.
Because she didn't treat him like a pet.
No, she was she's like, just like, hey, when I go to this thing? And he's like, yeah.
She's like, Smith, like, basically was like, makes me better. And like, I just, he's my partner in crime. And they look so like odd together.
They look incredibly odd together.
He's wearing a fur vest and no shirt and has an amazing ripped body and is like 6'5".
And like tiny vinyl shorts and like makeup. Lady Gaga, like boots.
And like long hair, like he looks amazing. And
yeah,
Amy's with him, which makes me laugh even more.
She's like, Amy needs to be exposed to like the real world.
Amy goes,
Amy is literally like a puppy that needs to be like taken to the vet for vaccination.
I know,
like she's just like not ready
for worms. Amy goes, I've never danced with a drag queen before. I was like, he's not a drag queen.
A drag queen.
She goes, I kind of liked it. Like Amy was like feeling
Amy
herself.
Is, like can't get a grip.
Yeah, he's like has a fan with him, which,
well, I've never danced with a drag queen before. I kind of liked it.
I think like, she thinks he's literally a drag queen.
She doesn't know what a drag queen is.
I said he looks like Rufio and that twink sub character in Mad Max 2 who dies and triggers like the gang conflict with Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said.
Claudia is lit.
Claudia's
Adderall is kicked in. She introduces herself as Claudia to Smith.
She looks kind of uncomfortable.
She's like kind of like, she looks like euphoric.
Yeah.
But like not in like a natural way. She's rolling again. She goes, I'm Claudia.
Actually, Amy said, or Carrie goes, the End of Century girls were looking at Smith. And I was like, I don't think they were.
I don't think they were.
I think Claudia was like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, I don't think the end of century girls are like
phased
one way or another by like
anything.
Anything, yeah. Chantal certainly isn't.
Chantal goes, tonight I had the epiphany to set up a sales station and it's skyrocketing our prices.
She's like, once we finally got it figured out, we started making lots of sales.
They had like a portable credit card like swipe thing.
I love that they figured out how to like bring an iPad out so that people could buy shit.
Yeah, it's amazing. Chantal's like, I had this amazing revelation. The Paimon told me.
Yeah, Paimon whispered in her ear.
No, and in the background, you just keep seeing...
you keep seeing Paimon literally.
I've never seen anything
My brain did not even register that top portion of the
He's
altar because it was
crown.
Too scary for me.
He's wearing a crown.
He's wearing a crown. It's like a mashup. It's like Egyptian almost.
It's horrifying.
It's a pure horror.
Terrifying.
The horror of the Lower East Side. Paimon whispered to Chantal, set up a pay station.
Set up an iPad.
Set up a sales station.
We also...
where you can rent a credit card. Chantal's like, I knew I was on to the right track.
I heard a whisper over my shoulder.
And so Chantal's just using this to drag Claudia, being like, I had to come up with this. And then not even she goes, and of course, everything we're selling is the clothes.
Yeah. So again, Claudia is a huge, big, fat failure.
So Carrie, this is also maybe my favorite moment secretly of the whole show. Carrie's telling
she's like
Smith, and she goes, I went to this art show called Fallen, and it has leaves, and the amount of leaves is equivalent to the amount of Iraqi soldiers that have fallen.
Wow.
And Amy and Smith go, wow.
Amy's like not ready for that kind of heaviness.
I wasn't ready for that.
Carrie's like learning a lot about the art world. My favorite moment, then she goes, I'm kind of like Karl Lagerfeld.
Thought of you.
He doesn't have a scene and neither do I, just adapt.
She goes, like Karl Lagerfeld, I don't know that 9/11 happened.
Much like my friend Carl, 9/11 is but a big mystery to me.
But that wasn't that weird, the Fallen thing?
Yeah, now that I think about it, like it was. But she's just like, her eyes are opening up to many different kinds of art. Carrie's just like discovering things.
It made me kind of respect Amy more because Amy just was kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, in Amy's head, Amy's like, fucking idiot. Like, she's like, how'd she get this fucking internship?
Yeah.
She's still like really bumping on the fact that like Carrie's managed to like elbow her way into the art world.
She trots around the street with a drag queen. She's like... Who is this?
And I did like Dancing with the Drag Queen, but, like, you know, it's a drag queen.
Yeah. Can't take them home to mom and dad. What if she tried to... She was like... Later in the night, she was like, ask Smith out.
Are you drinking a Michelob Ultralight? My little love of my life.
Have you ever seen In-N-Out?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Joan Cusack, to Tom Selleck at the end of the bar, she goes, I love you. And he goes, I'm gay. That's what...
That's Amy's energy.
Yeah. Chantal just goes, I'm embarrassed for Claudia. Like, she just like for no reason. Claudia's just like struggling to like...
Chantal's an emotional terrorist.
I'm embarrassed for her at this point.
I'm actually embarrassed for Claudia.
At this point.
Whoa, Chantal. Okay, Chantal.
At this point, I'm embarrassed for Claudia.
It's like, you're also part of the store.
Yeah, also
like,
you...
Like, it's the three of you that decided to do this together.
Can you imagine working with her on a group project?
No.
In high school?
She'd destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, not for me.
Well, while we were all working...
Jane Holzer comes by to see Eli's gallery.
Well, first we cut to Liz. Liz and her hot...
Gay face boyfriend.
Total gay face, gay porn star boyfriend. Hanging her, he's like, she said her boyfriend wanted to remind her of like who she was because she was feeling blue about her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So he has her hang up all her art around the apartment, which is like a cute idea. But
it's like sweet.
But like one of her arts, like as we mentioned before, I don't know if it's an homage, but like it's a complete ripoff of Richard Prince's Nurse series.
Yeah, it's really weird. I think it's her like trying to do it. I don't know what it is, but I was like, none of this art is good. Put it back under the bed.
The flowers?
No. The flowers looked like something you could get at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, it looked like a powder room painting.
It was like a pier one.
At like a therapist's office.
Yeah, it was like not the look. None of it was. Back under the bed it goes. Refresh, start over.
But she kind of went, she was like, hang up that, the nurse. I was like, the nurse? So like, as if it was like...
her idea. I was just confused. I didn't love any of it. The thing that I loved most is her like silent chihuahua that like lays daintily on the top of her pillow on her bed.
She's taught her well.
Yeah. She's a good chihuahua. She's not like Tony. Comes in just like guns blazing.
No, I wish the chihuahua was like Tony. So yeah, Jane Holzer comes into
Eli's gallery. Who is the connection to Jane? Because she appears again, I think, in this show. Jane Liz. Is like, okay, Liz is the connection her to dad. Jane. Yeah.
So for anyone, you can explain Jane Holzer.
Jane Holzer, otherwise known as Baby Jane Holzer. Yeah, she was like a Warhol. Come on, educate them. Who was she? Throw in Nalara to give the Jane Holzer backstory. But yeah.
As it's revealed, Jane Holzer was...
she was a Warhol...
factory girl.
It girl. A true it girl. Angela, take note.
Like the first one or something?
Kind of, yeah. She was just one of the stars.
She looks like Stevie Nicks, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
She like walks in with sunglasses. Liz is like, hi, good to see you. She's like, it's so good to see you. And Eli's immediately like, oh.
Yeah.
And then cut to Maggie in the back stuffing envelopes.
Maggie's just like sad and imprisoned. She's in the back room on the couch.
She goes, of course, Jane Holzer walks in while I'm stamping envelopes.
Eli makes her refill the dog bowl. And she's like, yeah. She's like, this is so awful and humiliating.
Jane Holzer goes to the back room to like introduce herself to Maggie, and Jane's like really, she seems really nice.
She's chill. She doesn't have much to not be nice about.
She's like, did you study art? And she's like, yeah, I went to Maggie's like, yeah, I went to art school. And she's like, better than with me. I majored in boys.
Yeah. And then everyone laughs like uncomfortably for way too long. It was like three rounds of uncomfortable like laughing.
Yeah.
But then when Eli introduced Maggie, he goes, and then this is Maggie.
It's like Liz, like front and center, like
it was
front
just
desk intern.
Really sad.
And then Jane goes, come on out here to Maggie. Like, come out and hang with me. And Maggie goes, I can't. And then she goes, okay.
Yeah, I was like, Maggie, go out there.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's like, I can't. I gotta stuff him.
I gotta stuff him.
She loved it.
Yeah, she likes playing the like victim role in front of Jane.
She like jerked off to that later.
Yeah, she was like, she's like, that'll teach Eli. And then Eli's like, good job, Maggie. And then Maggie just starts whispering to her. She goes, I can't. Oh my God, I can't stand him for another second. Fucking stand him for another second. I can't stand this guy.
But I love that Jane's like,
come on out. I can't. I gotta stuff envelopes. All right.
Okay.
All right. Oh, Maggie.
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
We have a lot to look forward to. I mean, highlights of this episode were Amy's Dorian
monologue. I would love to perform that on stage.
Maybe
somewhere.
We will.
Maybe we will someday. If I get a live show going.
We're going to reenact that scene.
I'll reenact that scene.
I'll be Maggie.
You be Maggie, and I'll pin you against a wall, and I'll recite. It was like Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or something. It was like truly Southern Gothic drama.
It was.
It was.
Sharp objects.
I don't need a man. I don't need a man that has a nice apartment.
You can be
from Harlem. He can
from
be
Harlem
from
to the
side.
Upper East Side. I don't need a man from Harlem. He can be from Central Park West. I don't care. As long as he gives me love, that's what I'm looking for.
Do you know who I am?
Do you even know who I am? And then she goes,
not really.
No, I don't. I don't. I think the darkest, that wasn't even the darkest moment of that. The darkest moment is when she goes, yeah, I like Eric. He has a nice apartment.
Yeah, it was weird.
I was like, Maggie.
Maggie. So who is the darkest gallery girl to you at the moment?
Maggie. Liz, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. They all
have their own burdens to bear.
Amy's actually my favorite.
Amy's my favorite gay icon. She is a gay icon.
She's like...
she wore a Birkin and like a 50s... house dress to an art fair flounced around and goes, boring, boring, boring. I need something innovative. And then
something
like,
fast, because I got plans tonight.
I got plans later.
I love that. That's like...
I danced with the drag queen. I kind of liked it. She's wild.
Lisa Lampanelli could never.
She could never. She wishes. She studies gallery girls for material.
Lisa Lampanelli. I never, like, people were always like, I remember when, oh my God, that's another story.
That's another story for another time.
That sounds like I'm corny tonight. That's a story for another time. I don't have a story about Lisa Lampanelli. I don't think she's funny. I've never thought she was funny.
She never super resonated with me, but I didn't hold it against her.
No, me neither.
For a bonus episode, you can tune in to Patreon at patreon.com. You don't tune in there. I don't know why I said that, but you can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And for $5 a month, you can get weekly bonus episodes and more. It's a really good investment.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Why wouldn't? There's actually no reason. $5 is nothing.
Truths are told in the bonus episode.
Truths are told. Things are revealed. Stories are shared.
Why not?
And, like, memories are made.
May Paimon bless you.
Yeah. And may Paimon bring you the money to...
Hail Paimon!
Hail Paimon! I want Marco Martindale.
And Dowd.
I always get them confused.
They were like...
They're the same.
Yeah. No, And Dowd should just show up in the middle of EOC going, Hail Paimon! in a nightgown with all her hair down to her, like, fucking
she
ass.
She goes, it's amazing. I just have to share it with you.
Coins. You know the scene with the grandma in Hereditary who's like, ah, like being showered in coins?
Yeah.
You see Chantal. That's
showered in coins.
Can someone make a mock-up of
Chantal as the grandmother from Hereditary?
As Queen Anne from Hereditary?
Yeah. We need like a whole Hereditary.
Queen Lee, sorry.
The end of Hereditary scene, but with all the gallery girls. Someone do that. Someone do it.
I might have some. Yeah.
Shout out to the reader who sent us their email correspondence with the end of Century Girls. That's truly epic.
That was
I love that you did think you were getting those free tights.
I also just love Hi Chantel. Hi Laura.
Shady.
Do you know how much did that stir up?
Chantel was like, just put her fist. It was just her fist, like that Arthur meme where her fist, that's all. That's like the most anger you can get out of little Chantel.
Right now.
That was Chantel.
It's Chantel.
Anyway,
thank you for being my guest.
As always.
You're a delight
and a
treasure.
Thank you.
And I love
you. Love you too.
Follow Carrie, E. Cario. Follow me at Lars Marie. And love and light. That's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.